All right, Shabbos, say good morning. Good morning. Let us begin by thanking all of our sponsors for this morning. Share to thank our Talmud Torah sponsors for the month of Adar Aleph, Mrs. Selma Wolf, for dedicating all the Sherman Shrushos this month with immense gratitude for the refuah from Hashem. In the merit of our refuah Shlema for all of those in need, and in the schus of our soldiers, and in merit of Hashem, the return of our hostages, the Schwartzbaum family, in memory of Rabbi Aaron Schwartzbaum, Aaron Yosef Ben Meir Zichrono Livracha, and the Ziv Levine and Berman families, in memory of William Ziv Zev Shmuel Ben Yosef Zichrono Livracha. We also thank our week of learning sponsors, Paul and Kathy Pollack, in the schus of refuah Shlema for Mr. Jack Levy, Yaakov Ben Italea, and Ira Miriam Grossman, in celebration of their first anniversary of making Aliyah. Beautiful. Most of you show up to the merit of our Talmud Torah, all the neshamos having Aliyah, the families in the Chama, all of those who need a refuah, should have one together with Kol Chole Yisrael and Halavai. One day we should all be Zocha and Mirza Hashem to join the Grossmans. Oh, sorry. Thank you for heading that off in the past. Okay, so we'll say with that, let us begin. So today's daf is daf tes. I'm sorry, it's not the microphone. I have to speak louder. Today's daf is daf tes in Mirza Hashem, and we are picking up on Ches Amud Beis 8b, and we are picking up, I believe we left off yesterday with Ike de Amri, I think. Which is 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14, 16, 18 lines off on the bottom. Last word on the line. So I'll say, so remember again, what are we discussing over here? Our discussion over here is the halacha, the concept of how to acquire an animal. So specifically what we're focusing on was rachov. Does going ahead and riding an animal affect acquisition of the animal or not? And then even the world of riding, so remember again, we saw a distinction. There's actually riding on the animal itself, and there's being in a wagon that is pulled by an animal. So then we also had the discussion about whether or not holding onto the bridle is a way to go ahead and affect the acquisition of the animal as well. So the sauce, Igadami, different version of this. Amalei Abayi Rav Yosef, Hechi Pashit Ma Rachov Miyoshev. How could you go ahead and learn out the halachos of riding from the halachos concerning one who goes ahead and sits in a wagon? Because remember, yesterday we had the case of kilayim, of using two different animals to go ahead and pull a wagon. So the Gemara says, Yoshev lo tofes b'mosira, rochov tofes b'mosira. In the case of sitting on a wagon, ultimately the individual is not holding onto the bridle, but in a case of riding on the animal, a person is holding onto the bridle, and therefore halacha l'maisa, one could easily say that riding on an animal certainly is much more of an acquisitory act than sitting in the wagon. So the Gemara goes right. Amalei hachi tana idi. So hachi tana idi. This is what Rashi points out to Rosa, that idi is the name of someone, right? Idi Rashi says is a shem chacham. Hachi tana idi mosera lo kani. Holding onto the bridle of the animal does not go ahead and affect acquisition. That by itself doesn't affect acquisition. If my name is Rechaba Amravuna, Mosera Mechavera Kana, the Mitzias Ubenichse Hagel Lokani. Okay, so we'll say, I alluded to this, I don't know, speaking to somebody after Shir about this, that here the Gemara makes this interesting distinction, I will say, and I don't think we've really seen this up until this point, which is the concept that different Kimyonim will work in different circumstances. So for example, there is a distinction between acquiring something from Hefker versus acquiring something from someone else. So the Gemara says again, we'll make this statement over here, then Amir Hashem will define it a little bit better in just a few moments. So Rabbi Chelbo said in Rav Huna that if you're acquiring an animal from someone, then holding onto the bridle is enough to affect acquisition. However, if you have found an animal, or nichse ager. What's the case of nichse ager? Ager dies without any relatives. So what happens with property? It becomes hefker. So whether you're acquiring a lost object or acquiring an object from the hefker, so Rav Huna wants to suggest, sorry, Rabbi Chelbo wants to suggest to Rav Huna, then holding on to the bridle will not work. Okay? So we'll have to see what that distinction means in just a bit. So my lashon mosira. By the way, what is this lashon? Why is a bridle called a mosera? So the Gemara says, "Amrava idi asabroli, idi asbroli." So this chacham idi, he explained it to me, "Ke adam hamoser davar lechavero," because it's like someone who hands something over to his friend. So we'll say. So what's interesting is the word for bridle, this mosera, is not really a descriptive name of the functional use of the item. right? Of course, the idea of the bridle is to go ahead and keep the horse, or keep the animal in check. Right? Interestingly enough, but yet the descriptive term in halacha is something that can be handed over from one person to another. Okay, so b'shlami chaver akani dekam masra lechavre. So I say, I understand why if I'm acquiring an animal from Reuven, and Reuven gives me over the bridle, and now I take hold of the bridle, I could acquire that. Why? Because I'm acquiring this animal from someone. So essentially, what I'm suggesting is like this. Taking hold of the bridle, or say, essentially, is a mechanism of kinyan that represents the transfer of an item from one domain to another. So literally, again, you're terai, one person is taking the bridle and handing it over to the other. So that's the transfer of domain. So therefore, the Gemara suggests, Ravuna suggests, that'll work when you are acquiring the animal from another party. So party A is handing over the bridle to party B. But when one is acquiring this animal from Hefker, essentially, there's no one handing it over. So because there's no one handing it over, the act of simply picking it up is not a proper functional acquisitory act. Very interesting. So basically, Mar Zakasha, Hayushnaim Rokhman Kabi Behema. If there are two people riding on top of a behema, so the Mar says money, Ilima Rabbi Meir, if it's Rabbi Meir, then Hashta Yoshev Kani. So we'll say, so remember again, Sim Halacha, if two people are going out and riding on an animal, and Halacha Lamai says again, Zelmer Kula Shali, Zelmer Kula Shali, so the Halacha is Cholkin. We split the animal. So the Mar says, let's analyze this. So Bishlama, so Ilima Rabbi Meir, Hashta Yoshev Kani, Rachomi Bai. The Mar says, can't be Rabbi Meir, because Rabbi Meir holds that even sitting in a wagon pulled by an animal could affect acquisition. It's like riding the animal. So if sitting in a wagon is like riding the animal, then what? Certainly riding the animal is like riding the animal. Elav Rabbanon. Rather, it must be the Rabbanon Ushmamina Rachov Kani. And the Rabbanon are coming to teach us that halacha l'maisa Rachov, riding on an animal, is a proper form of acquisitory activity. So we'll say this is important to halacha. So what we know is like this. You know, leading an animal, we know, of course, is going ahead and is a proper way to acquire the animal, right? Chazaka is a proper way to go ahead and acquire the animal. But now what we're introducing over here is that rachov, even riding the animal, the act of riding the animal itself is a form of kinyan. So the Gemara says, well, maybe you can't bring this arai over here. How come I ask, you know, what's the case over here? Bemanik baraglov. We'll say the case over here is where the rider is like literally riding with his feet. What does that mean? So we'll say there, apparently there are two ways that you could go ahead and ride an animal. Obviously, in order to ride the animal, you have to prod the animal. So you could prod the animal, I guess, like, I don't know, with a little whip or a little stick, you know, or with your feet, right? You put your feet into the side of the animal. So we'll say, the Gemara is suggesting over here, maybe the case where you acquire the animal through riding is where you go ahead and you kind of like kick, I don't want to use the word kick, but like you prod the sides of the animal with your feet. So we'll say, see, interestingly enough, why is it? So we'll say you could see almost like that act, it's almost like wrapping your feet around the animal. You could see it as a much more almost like holistic form of acquisition, as opposed to just stam riding where you might just be sitting on top of the animal. So the Gemara says, "Ihaki, if that's the case, I knew manhig." The Rabbo said, "That's the same case of manhig." The Rabbo said, "Now manhig literally again is going ahead and leading the animal." Look at Rashi just a moment. Manhig baraglov, tekanye b'mashicha sheboit b'baraglov v'holeches machmaso kiderech roch ve'susim. So Rabbo said, "This is actually interesting." So Rashi says, when you spur an animal to movement by kind of prodding it with your feet on the sides of the animal, he says this has the din of Mashicha. It's interesting. We'll say, what's the kinyan of Mashicha? Mashicha is you pull something towards you. What the kinyan of Mashicha essentially says is, if you cause something, you cause the animal to move, by dint of your force, you acquire the animal. So we'll say, so Rashi explains, if you're riding on the animal, and you go out and you kick the sides of the animal moves, that's almost like Mashicha. So maybe when the Gemara says that you could acquire an animal by riding on it, maybe it's not just stump riding. Maybe it's only riding when you're also using your feet, in which case there's an element of Mashicha involved over here. To which the Gemara says, Ihaki, if that's the case, Manig. The Rabbo said, that's not Rochev. Again, we'll just get our terms quick, right? Rochev means riding of the animal. Manig means leading of the animal. So leading of the animal, Rabbo said, we'll see, clearly take on two forms. There's, let's say, Korol of Hiba. You call the animal and it comes, or you pull the animal. You cause the animal to move. Either way, I'm causing the animal to move. So the act of sitting on the animal, kind of kicking the sides with my feet, isn't that called manig? To which the Gemara says, Trey Gavni manig. There are two different forms of manig. Now that they, what would you have thought? Rachav Adav Taham Manhig V'Tafas Bey. You might have heard about saying that in the world of Manhig, of leading the animal, maybe riding on it and kind of spurring it on the sides, that's even a higher level of kinyan, because you're doing two things. You're riding, and also you're causing it to move. Kamashmalah, no, that they're both equally as effective. So Rebbe say, so well, if we pause here for just a moment, if we were to stop here for today, which we're not, but if we were to stop here for today, so just understand what we would emerge with is this idea that essentially the Gemara says, number one, rachov, riding an animal, is a proper form of acquisition, right? Riding a wagon attached to an animal would not be a proper form of acquisition for the animal, too indirect. There's another form of acquisition, which is manhig, which means leading the animal, causing the animal to move. Two different forms of manhig. One could be literally actually pulling or leading the animal, and the second ultimately would be sitting on the animal and causing it to move by spurring it with your feet. Okay, let's go back to it. Now we have some definitions now. So Tashma, Shayim Shayim Moshkin Begamal Manhigin Bechama. Let's say if two people were leading a donkey, literally pulling a donkey, a camel, Umanhigin Bechamar, and they were leading a donkey. Or one was doing mashicha and one was leading. Now, I will say that just to appreciate what's happening over here, take a look at Rashi. It's actually the last line in Rashi number days. Rashi says, Chamor darko behanhaga, the gamal darko b'mashicha. So, just to point out over here, in the wide world of animals, the normal way to acquire a camel would be to lead it. And the normal way to go ahead and the normal way to acquire a donkey would be to lead it, and the normal way to go ahead and acquire a camel would be to pull it. Mashicha. Okay, so that's the framework. So therefore, again, you have two people, right? Either both are pulling the camel, right, and leading the donkey, or one is doing mashicha, one is doing manhig, type of test, b'mida zos kanu. So I'll say this way, now we'll have to see exactly what this means, but this allows everyone to acquire the animals. All right, so we'll see, we'll have to define that statement in just a little bit. Now, Rabbi Huda says, li'olam lo kana achetim shicha b'gamal v'anhaga b'chamar. So Rabbi Huda says, absolutely not. Rabbi Huda says, the only way it works is if you acquire each animal in the normal way it's supposed to be acquired. What's the normal way? A camel is acquired through mashicha, and a donkey is acquired through hanhaga, through manhig. And Rabbi Huda is makbid on the mechanism of acquisition. Very interesting. Katani bihas. We'll see. What do you see from here? Oshaya echad moshech ve'echad manhig. So the Gemara says, you see from here that in the realm of acquiring animals, there are two options given. Right? There are two options given. What are the two options given? Moshech and manhig, mashicha or leading. What's missing from the list? Aval rochov lo. Now, both say riding is not on the list. So what it would appear from here that what? That the Gemara doesn't entertain the possibility that riding is a valid form of acquisition. To which the Gemara says, no. Who lo? So the Gemara says, aval rochov lo. Who adin dafilu rochov? So the Gemara says, not really. The truth is, even riding could be used to acquire the animal. So why is it left off the list? V'had tani moshech umanhig, La fuki mit Rabbi Huda da amar ad she tehei meshicha begama van haga bechamar kamash malon dafilu ipcha namikani. So what's it? The Gemara says no. The reason the Gemara is bringing up meshicha and han haga was just to exclude the position of Rabbi Huda. So now the Rabbi says, let's take a step back for just a moment. We had an interesting machlokas Rabbanan and Rabbi Huda, right? Two people acquiring a donkey and a camel. Again, let's work with our established facts. Normal way to acquire a donkey. Mashicha, right? Normal way to acquire a donkey, hanhaga, mani, right? Leading it. Normal way to acquire a camel, mashicha. Those are the normal ways, okay? Rabbanan Tanakama says it doesn't matter. You could use manhig or mashicha for either one and it works. Rabbi Huda's makbin and Rabbi Huda says no, it tafka has to be mashicha for the camel and manhig for the donkey. That's the way it has to work. So the Gemara says, again, Gemara's idea was, but you see from here, riding is excluded. So obviously, rachov doesn't work to acquire. To which the Gemara says, no. The only reason we didn't even bring this up is because we wanted to go ahead and exclude the position of Rabbi Huda. Our goal is to discount the opinion of Rabbi Huda. Rabbi Huda's makbid on the particular form of acquisition, and we're just trying to show that that is not the case. Either manhig or mashicha works for either one. So I said, if that's the case, ihachi larvinu v'lisninu. Why don't you kind of mix everything together, right? State everything together and just say the following. Shnayim shayim oshchin u'manhigin. If two people were either doing mashicha or manhig, bein begabel bein mechamar, whether you're talking about a donkey or a camel, it works. It works. Just put it all together. If that's your goal, just to go ahead and discount the opinion of Rabbi Huda and say they were not makbid on the particular king for the particular type of animal, just state it all together. So this is interesting. The Gemara says, no, because ika chad sad delo kani. Because we're going to see that even according to the Tanakama, there is one variation that does not work for acquisition. Again, we'll discuss what that is in just a little bit. So Moses says, "Igadam Mirbo," saying on the other alternate version of this, "Meshicha b'chamar." Right? Some say that meshicha works. Right? Igadam meshicha b'chamar. You could do meshicha on a donkey. The Igadam Mir hanhaga b'gamal. So I'll say ultimately, and some say hanhaga manig. Manig by a camel. So Moses says, "The is the most of misefa," and others explain this works. But right, ask on this from the seifa. B'mida zu kana. In this way, you could acquire. So the Gemara says, "B'mida zu kana, b'mida zu l'mi utemai." When it says, "We'll say now," the Gemara talks about the idea. This is how you could acquire. Now again, so machlokes, you know, what's the normal way to acquire a donkey? What's the normal way to acquire a camel? But your options are limited to mishicha and manhig. What's missing from the list? So the Gemara says, "Lav l'mi ute rachuf." Once again, I will say, it seems that we're just excluding riding from this, and that riding isn't even an option for acquisition purposes, to which the Gemara says, no, lo, demi ute ipcha. No, I will say, maybe he's coming to exclude that the opposite one can't be used. In other words, I will say, in this version, we're saying that manhig is by a camel, and mashiach is by a donkey. When the Sefer then says, midazu, this is the way to do it, perhaps what that means is, this is the only way to do it. You can only go ahead and use manhig by a camel and mashicha by a donkey, and you can't reverse those either or. You can't use one for the other. That's the case, and that's Rabbi Huda. Right? Rabbi Huda will say, is the one who says that each animal can only be acquired in the normal fashion that it is accustomed to, or that works for it. So what's the nafkamina? Sad echad delokani. Ultimately, again, I will say, because there is one variation that will not work. What's the variation? Ista amri mashicha b'chamer. So some say, even according to Tanakama, mashicha by chamer won't work. Ika da amri hanhaga b'gamal. Or some say hanhaga b'gamal. So we'll say, so it seems to be that even according to Tanakama, who seems to say that you can use any mechanism for anyone, including rachov, there are still certain things that won't work for particular animals. Interesting. Tashma. Echad rachov chamer ve'echad tafas b'masera. We'll say now a very interesting case here. So remember, this is all still part of the Rachav case. Can you go ahead and acquire an animal ultimately through riding it? So here we go. Echad Rachav Chamar ve'echad Tafas Malasera. Okay, interesting case here. Right, Reuven and Shimon walk into Beis Din. Reuven is riding on the animal, sitting on the animal, and Shimon is holding the bridle. Right, and what are they both claiming? Reuven says, it's mine. Shimon says, it's mine. What's Talacha? So the Gemara says, Ze Kana Chamar ve'ze Kana Mosera. It's interesting. Reuven, who's sitting on the animal, he has acquired the donkey. Right? And Shimon, who's holding the bridle, he is the proud new owner of a bridle. Okay. Shema mina, what do you see from here? For our purposes, what's important about this? Shema mina, rachuv kani. You see from here that halacha lemaisa, riding an animal, is in fact a valid form of acquisition. Hach, as the Gemara says, well, maybe not. Maybe it's like a raya. Hach anami, the manik baraglov. Maybe the case of Rebbe says once again a case where you're riding on the animal and kind of spurring the animal with your feet. So Rebbe says, so remember again, as we saw on Chesam and Beis, that act of spurring the animal with your feet, that almost has a din of what? Almost like a din of mashicha, almost like a din of manhig. So that wouldn't really be a raya to the rachuv discussion. Ihachi, the Gemara says, I'm sorry, how about skin of a manik raglov? Ihachi, mikni nami rachov b'mosera. So I'll say, if that's the case, then why doesn't Reuven, who's riding on the donkey, why doesn't he acquire both the donkey and the bridle? Right? The bridle's on the donkey. So if you're going to tell me that Reuven is acquiring the donkey, and now you're going to say it's not even just a case of Rachov, it's a case ultimately where he's causing the donkey to move through, spurring it with his feet. Why don't we say that Reuven acquires the donkey and the bridle? So Rishon Yomar says, Ema, zek kana chamar v'chatzim osera, v'zek kana chatzim osera. Wow. So let's say the Gemara says, maybe you're right. Maybe the halacha is like this. When Reuven and Shimon walk in like this, and Reuven is riding on the donkey, and now we're saying that the way this is working over here is that Reuven is spurring the donkey to move through it with his feet, and Shimon is holding on to the bridle. Maybe the way it works is that Reuven acquires the donkey and half of the bridle, and Shimon acquires half of the bridle. In other words, we'll say when it comes to the bridle, what we look at that is what? Shtaim Ochsen. And maybe the halacha is ultimately, again, yachloku, so fascinating. To which the Gemara says, Bishnama Rachov Kani Dikamag Balei Bendas. So as I said, I understand why, if you're riding an animal, I understand ultimately why riding has the ability to go ahead and acquire an animal. Why? Because it will say, through riding it, so you are causing the animal to move. A Bendas, right? Someone with intellect. Someone with das is causing the animal to move. Okay? And that in and of itself makes sense that it's an acquisitory act. So the Gemara says, Ben das, Elo tafus b'moseira b'maykoni. I will say, if a person is holding on to the bridle, I don't understand, what exactly is the mechanism of acquisition by holding on to a bridle? So the Gemara says, Ema, zek kana chamar v'kuli moseira, v'zek kani masha tafus b'yado. You're right, the Gemara says, maybe when Reuven and Shimon walk into the Ezin, right, and Reuven's sitting on the donkey holding on to the bridle, and Shimon walks into Beis and holding on to the bridle, the halacha is like this. Reuven acquires the animal and essentially the bridle. The only thing that Shimon acquires is what? Whatever he's holding in his hands. And I will say this goes back to what we learned, I think, 2 days ago now, this interesting idea that when two people are holding on to something, right? Armish is talking about a case. Shnayim Oksim B'talas, as the Gemara set it up, is talking about a situation where Reuven and Shimon are holding on to the edges of the garment. So that's when we say Yachloku. But in a different case, where Reuven and Shimon come walking into Beis Din and each one is holding on to something, remember again, what does the halacha say? Whatever you're holding on to is yours. So maybe in this case over here, Reuven and Shimon walk in. Reuven's riding on the animal, holding the bridle. Shimon walks in, holding the bridle as well. So now based on what we're saying is, Reuven is acquiring the animal. Maybe it's Rachov, or maybe it's like Mashiach because he's spurring the animal, right? Either way, he's acquiring the animal. If he's acquiring the animal, he also should acquire the bridle, because that's part of the donkey. Yet, interesting, so Nagmar says, you're right. Reuven acquires the donkey, and the bridle. The only thing that Shimon gets is what? Whatever he's holding onto in his hands. And I was like, going back to yesterday's daf, we still remember, so how are you going to split that? So what are we establishing yesterday's daf? Splitting is always done according to value. Right, it's not like we initially thought that like yachloku literally means like this Solomonic act of splitting it exactly down the middle. Rather again, we're actually selling it and we'll go ahead and divide the proceeds. Okay, interesting. So the says, "Hi, my imtim salamahamagbiya mitzila chavero kana chavero." So we're back now to yesterday's daf. Rabbi Bar Chama, Rabbi Bar Chama introduced this fascinating idea. Hamagbiya mitzila chavero kana chavero. Hagba requires a full lifting of the object. Right? If the object is not fully lifted, you can't acquire it through Hagbah. In situations where I can't lift it myself, someone else can help me go ahead and do Hagbah and help me accomplish Hagbah. So watch this. If you accept the premise of Hamagbiya Mitzila Chavero Kana Chavero, Hanimili, Hecha de Kamag Balei, Adaita de Chavre. So I will say that only works if the other person helping me has Kavana to help me. So the Gemara says, Hai, Adaita Dide Kamag Balei. But we'll say in this case over here, Shimon doesn't have in mind to help Reuven, right? Shimon is doing this on his own. To which the Gemara says, "Ihu lo kani lachrini machni." So if Shimon himself can't acquire it because it's not a complete act of Hagbah, does it make sense that he's going to be able to help Reuven? Of course not. To which the Gemara says, "Amar Ravashi zeh kana chamar ubeis pageha v'zeh kana mashe tafus biado." So the Gemara says, "You're right." Ravashi says like this. In reality, going back to this case, where Reuven is riding on the donkey and Shimon is holding on to a part of the bridle. So that looks like this, I suppose, saying. Reuven essentially acquires everything. He acquires the donkey. I will say, base pagia is literally like the, excuse me, it is the whole head zach. In other words, right, the way it works is that the animal has this whole contraption that sits on its head that is comprised of many parts. The mosera, right, the bridle is one part of that. The zug, the bit, is one part of that. So the maisa, Ravashi says like this. In reality, Reuven acquires everything. Right? He acquires again the donkey, the hetzach, and everything. The only thing, so what does Shimon get? V'zeh kana masha tofes biyado. Ultimately, again, so he'll get what he's holding. V'ashar lo kana lo lezeh v'lo lezeh. And I will say, and interestingly enough, there's the rest of it. And I will say, now what's the rest of it? Any part that Reuven's not holding on to, and that Shimon's not holding on to, is technically still hefker. So I will say, so for example, just to give you an example of this, let's say Reuven is holding on to the head of the animal, right? He's holding on to like the headpiece of the animal. Shimon's holding on to a piece of the bridle, So then there's this whole other part of the bridle that technically speaking is not being held. So the halacha is over here, that it's hefker, and whoever wants to go ahead and grab it is able to grab it. Okay, remember, we're talking about a metziah or nechsi hager. So this whole thing is hefker that we're talking about over here. Tushin Gemara says, Rabbi Yavo, I'm Rabbi Olam Kidiktani. Rabbi Yavo says, no. Let's go back to the way we established this before, namely, that when Reuven is riding on the donkey and Shimon is holding on to the moser, to the bridle, the halacha is like this. Reuven acquires the donkey and Shimon acquires the bridle. Let's go back to that original distinction. So the Gemara says, and I will say, what's the logic of that? The logic of that is, why does Shimon acquire the bridle? And this is actually very interesting, because Shimon, technically speaking, has the ability to pull the bridle, to yank it, and for it to become totally in his possession. So I will say, it's actually interesting now, because now we're going to be introduced to this concept of yanking, and how if you could yank something, right, and pull it totally into your domain, then suddenly it becomes yours. It becomes yours. So look at Rashi for just a moment. Rashi is hov yachel hatafas b'moseiro lemoshcho b'koach v'yinatek mirosh hachamar v'yaviu etzlo the hoil v'rosh hachamar gavoa noach l'aviu ala menesika achas. So Rashi says, watch this. So Reuven is going to acquire the animal because Reuven is sitting on the animal. Shimon the Gemara, Rabbi Yavo suggests, is going to acquire the moseiro. Rabbi Yavo. Shimon is going to acquire the moseiro. Why? Because technically speaking, what Shimon could do is Shimon could yank the Mosera, and the whole thing could come to him. Right? He could just, like, if he yanks it hard enough, it'll just be pulled off the head of the animal. So because he could yank it towards him, he's considered the owner of that. Okay? Very like this. Baha, Rabbi Avo Berusa. But this statement of Rabbi Avo, we'll say Berusa literally means it's an outside opinion, which means we don't accept it. We don't accept it. That we do not accept this concept. What Rabbi Avo, I want to point out, Rabbi Avo is introducing a new concept, which is that if you could pull something towards you, then that effectively counts as an act of hagbah. Right? Again, I would say the chap is, if you could pull something towards you, even if you didn't, right? In the case in question over here is, Shimon has not pulled the bridle towards him. He just happens to have, let's say, the straps in his hand. But because he could technically pull it towards him, therefore, halacha lemaisa, he becomes the owner. So the Gemara says, this thing with Rabbi Abba, it's not correct. So the Gemara says, "Ti'ilo te'imahachi, talis shimunachas chesa gabi karka v'chesa gabi aman." Let's listen to this case. Let's say there's a cloak, right? Reuven's holding a cloak. Half the cloak is in Reuven's hand, and half of it is situated right on the ground. Talis, half of it is on the ground, half of it is on a pillar. And what happens? Uba echad vihigbia chetzya me'al gabi karka. And what happens? Now let's say, there is a cloak. Half of it is on the ground, half is on a pillar. Reuven comes along, and he goes and lifts up the half that's on the ground. Uba acher vihigbia chetzya me'al gabi amut. And now Shimon lifts up the other half, right, that was sitting on top of the pillar. So you might have thought, Hachinami dekama kani, ubasra lo kani, hov yachal natek ulahavi etzlo. So Mosei should say like this, Reuven should fully acquire the talus. Why? Why am I saying? Because Reuven has the ability, if he wanted to what? To yank it out of Shimon's hand. Right? And since he has the ability to yank it, therefore again it's as if, kiyo, he's done hagbal. So I will say, but we don't say that. Right? We don't say the Gemara says Ella Had Rabbi Chia Berusihi. Rather, Had Rabbi Avo. I'm sorry, but you see from the Rabbi Avo's statement, Rabbi Avo's position is incorrect. In other words, we don't accept in halacha that because you could technically yank something out of someone's hands, it's as if you've done Hagbah, and therefore you are the owner of the object. Because we will say, by the way, we know that even from our Mishnah, that because otherwise from our Mishnah, you could say that, you know, you could say that if, we just saw this before, if, well, good. Let's come back to him. So, Tashma, Rabbi Elazar Omer, Rachov Basada, we'll say another, some really interesting cases over here. So we'll say, by the way, bottom line, just how do we paskin? Oh, because it's Kedai to do this. Actually, let's finish out these cases first. Tashma, Rabbi Elazar Omer, Rachov Basada Managbir, Kana, if you ride an animal in the field, or if you lead it in the city, you're Kona, you acquire it. So the Gemara says, Hachanami Manig Baraglov. So I'll say, maybe we're talking about a case over here of manig. Maybe manig over here doesn't mean literally leading. Maybe manig also means riding, but again, you're spurring the animal with your feet. Ihachi, hainu manig. So I understand if that's the case, then it's the same case, the Gemara says. Tre gavni manig. There's two different forms of manig. Ihachi, so I'll say, in other words, you could be manig the animal by pulling it, or you could be manig the animal by sitting on it and spurring it with your feet. Ihachi rachov beir my time alokani. So it's interesting. So why is it that riding an animal in the city won't work, right? It says you could ride it in the field, or you can lead it in the city. Why can't you ride the animal in the city? So this is very interesting. So the Gemara says, "Amrav Kahana lefi shein darkon shal bnei adam lirchov beir." People say it is not the normal manner of people to ride animals in the city. Interesting. So apparently, when you're in the city, what do you do with your animal? You lead it. You lead it. You don't ride it. So because that's not normative behavior, therefore, it can't affect acquisition. The Gemara says, one second. So now you're telling me that if something is not normative, it can't affect halachic reality. So what about the following case? Amar Rav Ashi Rav Kahana. Elamiyato. Higbiya arnik yibishabis. Shein darkan shalvan adam lak biya arnik yibishabis. Hachan amid lokani. I have to say, what about a person who goes ahead and lifts up a wallet on Shabbos, lifts up a coin purse on Shabbos? So I will say, it is the derech not to lift up a wallet on Shabbos. What happens if Reuven lifts up a coin purse on Shabbos? Does he acquire it? Does he acquire it? And the answer is yes. Remember again, there's no kimlim b'derabim minei, right? There's no capital crime or anything like that. So halacha l'maisa, if you go ahead and you lift up a coin purse on Shabbos, you're chayiv. Even though what? In other words, you've acquired it. Even though what? That's not the norm. So what do you see from here? That even when engaging in non-normative standard behavior, you can still affect halachic realities. To which the Gemara says, you're right. So the Gemara says, Halkanami delokani, ella mai da'ovid ovid. Vikani. So the Gemara says, what do you see from here? You see from here that halacha l'maisa, whatever you did, second line from the bottom, whatever you did. In other words, even though you shouldn't acquire a coin purse on Shabbos, but if you did so, ultimately, again, it works. So it's about to say, what you did. In other words, so I got it. It's not normal to ride an animal in the city, but, what's the but? If you did it, why wouldn't it work to acquire the animal? So this is very interesting. Rather, I would say, interestingly enough, we're not talking about a case of a person acquiring the object from Hefker, or a found object. Rather, what are we talking about over here? A transactional case. Reuven is purchasing an animal from Shimon, and Shimon says, the Amar Lei, Kini Kiderach Shabene Adam Konin. Very interesting. Reuven is purchasing an animal from Shimon, and Shimon says to Reuven, acquire the animal in accordance with normal Kenyan standards. So what's interesting over here is that Shimon is making this part of the transaction. So part of the transaction is acquire it, but acquire it in a normative fashion. Very interesting. So the Gemara, therefore, that's why the Gemara says, if he led it in the city, it works. If he rode it in the field, it works. But if he rode it in the city, it doesn't work. I would say, not that riding it in the city can't affect acquisition, but in a case like this, where the transaction was structured in such a way, where the seller said to the buyer, acquire it in accordance with normative transactional standards, so he has to do what's normally done. And what's normally done is you don't ride animals in the city. Incredible. Other days, the Irish Saradimu, Kani. Now, there are a couple of caveats to this. In other words, as much as we say that people don't ride animals in the city, not totally true. If it's in Rosh Saravim, people do ride animals in Rosh Saravim. Okay? V'adam chashev u'kani. Furthermore, if he's an important guy, let's say Reuven is a chashev guy, so let's say chashev people don't lead animals. Right? Chashev people ride animals. by animals or are led on animals themselves, but they do not go ahead and lead animals. Similarly, again, women. It was apparently considered to be like not sanua, was immodest or inappropriate for a woman to have to lead the animal. The woman would also ride the animal. So again, these are just all examples of where, as much as we said before, that halacha l'maisa, you know, you don't ride an animal in the city, there are exceptions. Rishas harabim, an adam chashuv, a woman, this last one is great. V'inish zilahu. Let's say, inish zila means a person who dafka goes out of his way to break every conventional norm. Right? In other words, if society says this, I'm going to buck the system. Right? And this, that. Let's say, I want to point out, the Yirah is not complimenting that individual, right? We're not holding, but Lamaisa, it's understood that such a person like this is going to act just in a different kind of way. Okay. So Bar Elazar, next. Homer Lachabero, Mishok Behem Mizul Liknos Kelim Shalama. Alright, so let's say this is actually a fascinating case. So listen to this. Reuven, right? So Reuven goes over to Shimon. And Reuven says to Shimon, I want you to do Mashicha on this animal in order to go ahead and be kona the utensils that are on top of it, that are sitting on the animal. So mahu. So the Gemara says, liknos. So liknos would mean to acquire. Mi amar le kani. And I was about to say, if you want someone to acquire something, you have to say, kani, acquire it. Ela, mishok behemazu, the kani kehelim shalaha mahu. So I was about to say, let me talk about this case for just a moment. It's actually quite fascinating. In this case over here, Reuven has an animal. On the animal are utensils. Reuven wants to convey ownership of the utensils to Shimon, but does not want to convey ownership of the animal to Shimon. So he's selling the utensils, or giving the utensils, but not giving the animal. But what he wants to do is he wants to use the animal almost as a vehicle of conveyance for the utensils. So Reuven says to Shimon, do mashicha on my animal. You're not acquiring my donkey, but do mashicha on my donkey. And through Mashicha on my donkey, you will acquire the utensils that are situated upon my donkey. So Mahu, what's Talach over here? So Mi Mahanya Mashicha de Behema Laknuye Kelim Olo. Does Mashicha on the animal work to acquire the utensils or not? Amar Rava. So Rava said, I Amarle Kani Behema Vakani Kelim, Mi Kani Kelim, Chatzar Malechasi, V'chatzar Malechas Lokana. So we'll say, so now the Gemara says, let me just give you even like a more extreme case. What's the more extreme case? We'll say, let's say Reuven was saying over to Shimon, I want to give you over ownership over my donkey and the kelim. And so acquire my donkey, and when you acquire my donkey, ultimately, again, you'll acquire the kelim. So I'll say, that's even a stronger case, because here, Reuven is giving Shimon both things. But we'll say, that case doesn't work. You can't acquire kelim by dint of the donkey. In other words, we'll say, whenever you acquire B, as a result of A, that's called Kinyan Chatzar, right? Or it could be called Kinyan Chatzar. Right? So again, so essentially, what Reuven is trying to do is he's trying to say, acquire my donkey will be like the Chatzar, and you'll go ahead and acquire the Kelim as a result of the Chatzar of the donkey. A donkey can't be a Chatzar. Why can't a donkey be a Chatzar? Because the donkey is mobile. But we'll say, and a Chatzar ma'alechas, right? A mobile Chatzar does not work. So the Gemara says, "V'chitei mekishamda." I maybe the donkey is stationary. So the Gemara says, "V'ha kol shiv mahalech lo kana omeid v'yoshev lo kana." So the Gemara says, "No, that doesn't matter. Once a chaser is mobile, I'm saying, even if it's standing still, it still doesn't work." So the Gemara says, "Right, v'lochasa b'kfusa." When would it work? It was interesting. When would it work? It would work ultimately. Again, it would work if the donkey was tied up. So in other words, when could your donkey technically be a chaser? If the donkey was totally rendered immobile, then potentially when conveying ownership over the donkey, you could also convey ownership over the utensils. But again, I will say, I just want to point out, but that's not our case, right? That's not our case. Our case is even a step more complicated, because in our case, Reuven is not conveying ownership of the donkey over to Shimon. He's not. What is he conveying ownership of? Of the kelim, of the utensils. He's trying to use the donkey as a mechanism of conveyance. So I will say, so the shayla is, does that work? It would appear, based on what we just said, the answer should be unequivocally no. Because in general, even if you're giving ownership of the donkey over, right, and you want to give ownership of the kelim by dint of the donkey, that's only going to work if the donkey is rendered immobile, and then it's a real chatzar. But if you're not conveying ownership of the donkey mitrila from the beginning, then it would not appear that you could convey ownership of the utensils through the donkey. Amalira papa v'rafona b'rei d'Rav Yoshua l'Rava, elameata. So I will say, interesting. So therefore, I will say, based on what we just said, that halacha lemaisa, it would not work. It would not work. In other words, it would not work to convey ownership of the utensils through the donkey. In other words, do meshicha on the donkey, not for the purpose of acquiring the donkey, but do meshicha on the donkey for the purpose of going ahead and acquiring the utensils. But pashtos, that would not work. Now I will say, now the Gemara is intrigued by the last thing we just mentioned, which is something cannot be a chatzar if it's moving. You can't have a chatzar ma'alachas. So listen to this. The Gemara says, El Miata, if that's the case, hay mahalich b'sfina, v'kafzu dagim l'socha sfina. Let's say I'm on a boat, and fish jump into my boat. So b'pashtos then, I should not acquire the fish. Why? Because the boat is a chatzar ma'alachas. Now I'll give you like the nafkamina of this. Imagine for a moment, I invite you all on my boat. It's in dry dock right now, so whatever. It's a little while. Hey, Brother Meister, I invite you on my boat. So I say, so now what happens? We're on the boat, and we're sitting there, and the fish jump on the boat. It's like, this is gewaldig, this is great, right? I have my gefilte now for Shabbos, right? So you grab the fish. I'm like, get off my fish. Right? Well, I'd say it nicer than that, but you understand, like, please get off my fish. It's mine, because it's my boat, it's my chatzar, and therefore I've acquired the fish. So I say, but based on what we just said, that's not true. Why? Because the boat is moving, and at the end of the day, it's a chatzar ma'alechas. So how can I be the chatzar ma'alechas? Even though kani, so this is incredible. Amar Lehi said, no, svina menach naicha. Incredible. The boat is not moving. What's moving? Umayim hu dekama matilu. So this is fascinating. The Gemara says that over here, really, it's not, yeah, we'll say, obviously, we're talking about a boat that's not being propelled by a motor or by sails, by things like that, where the boat is not moving. So the boat, when looked at it, the boat itself as an object is stationary. It's stationary. But rather, again, I'm going to say it's the water underneath it that's we're going to say it's incredible. By the way, last night, we literally just spoke about this in our Chassidus Chabura, about the power of water to move things from one place to another, sometimes without even realizing that profound and transformative movement has occurred. Pretty incredible. Anyway, the Gemara says that the boat actually halachically is considered to be at rest, and it's the water underneath it that's moving, and therefore the boat is going to be a valid chatzar. I think Gemara says, So let's listen to this case. What about a Gittin case? Right? Reuven is divorcing his wife Rachel. She's walking in Rishus Rabim. She has a basket. What does he do? He takes the get and he throws it into her basket. So it says, the halacha is she's divorced. But how could she be divorced? It's a chatzar ma'alechas. Right? It's a moving chatzar. To which the Gemara says, no. Amar lei kalsa menach naicha ve'ihi tekamasagi mitusa. Let's say the basket is at rest. The basket is at rest. What's not at rest? The woman. Right? So it's the woman that's moving, but ultimately, again, the basket, the object is at rest. So I'll say, very interesting. Very interesting. Okay? So I'll say, but I'll just point out a tremendous Moshe Haskell in this also. Like, a lot of times in life, so it's important just to understand that even if I am not moving, by definition, putting myself in different circumstances is allowing myself to be moved. In other words, when the boat puts itself on, so to speak, when the boat is put on the water, so the boat might say, you know what, I'm holding my ground, I'm not going anywhere. But the might say, what happens? You put yourself in circumstances, the water moves you. The basket, I'm a happy basket, I'm a content basket where I am, no intention to move. You put that basket on a human being and suddenly again the basket moves. But we say a lot of times in life when we place ourselves in certain circumstances, in certain situations, even if we don't have kavana to move in a certain direction, by definition, movement occurs on its own by dint of placing yourself in those circumstances. You might have all of the best intentions to remain in place, but because I allowed myself to be in a certain situation, a certain circumstance, and a certain reality, my boat is being moved. My basket is being moved. Even though, at the end of the day, I had no intention. The power, we'll say, we speak about this all the time, but we go through life thinking that we could expose ourselves to certain circumstances, be exposed to certain circumstances, and not be affected and impacted. It's not true. Every body of water we place ourselves on, right? Every person we attach ourselves to, there's always movement, there's always change, and there's always an impact on who we are. All right, Mishnah. It's a very interesting case here. Reuven is riding on an animal, and Reuven sees a lost object. He sees a metzia. Tinali, what happens? So Reuven's riding on the animal. Shimon's walking next to him. So Reuven says to Shimon, "Shimon, grab me that $100 bill that's on the ground." Right, this $100 bill, grand. I'm using money because money is a great case of just hefker. Right, whenever you find money in Rishus Rabim, right, we assume that it's hefker. So grab me that $100 bill, give it to me. Okay, so that's the halacha. Bosai, the amar ani zachisiba. So as I said, now what happens? Shimon says, I'm not giving that to you. I'm keeping that for myself. What's the halacha? Zachaba. Shimon acquires it, right? Because at the end of the day, it's hefker, right? Reuven had no ownership over it. Now Bosai again. Is that like a nice thing to do? I don't know if it's a nice thing to do. I don't know if that's the kind of behavior that earns you many friends, right? But Lamais, again, it's legal. It's legal, right? Because while Reuven said, "Most of my beginning," says that's what we saw before. Seeing something, is not a form of kinyan at all. So even though Reuven can say, "I saw it first," that's very nice. You ask Shimon to pick it up. Shimon picked it up. Shimon has the ability now to transfer it over to you. He can, or he can keep it for himself. Okay. However, watch this. Interesting. So case number one is where, right, Reuven's on the animal, Shimon's walking next to him. Reuven says, "Shimon, look, $100 bill. Quick, grab that for me." Shimon picks it up and Shimon puts it in his pocket. Reuven says, "Hey, what's going on over here?" Shimon says, "You know, there's a soft spot in my heart for $100 bills," mm-hmm. right? So again, I'm keeping it. The halacha is he's allowed to keep it. That's case one. Case two, the same case, right? Reuven's running on the animal. Shimon's walking next to him. Reuven sees $100 bill. Shimon grabs it for me. Shimon gives it to Reuven. After Shimon gives it to Reuven, he says, "Reuven, I just want to tell you, I really had a mind to acquire it for myself." So we'll say, in that case, the Mishnah says, "Lo amar kolom." Now, then we'll say, that far already, we're not going to go. In other words, you already gave it over to Reuven. Once he gave it over to Reuven, it belongs to Reuven. Okay, so let's analyze. So Tznan awesome. Misha likeit es ha-peya. Well, it's an interesting case over here. Someone collected peah. Now remember, peah is the corner of the field that is reserved for the poor. So someone went ahead and collected peah, and he collects it for a particular ani. Now take a look at Rashi in just a moment. Rashi says, Adam bi alma she'eno ba sada, di'i ba sada lo sada lo amar Rabbi Eliezer zocha. The lekka lemeimar nigo de zaki the nafshe dafilu ani musar shelo vilkal peah misadei shelo. So both says, now listen to this. We're talking about over here, we're just stam a person. So right, what happens? So Reuven walks into Shimon's field. Shimon has peah. Reuven says, "I'm having in mind to acquire this peah for Levi." Okay. So both says, now what's talach? So does that work? Rabbi Eliezer Omer zachalo. Rabbi Eliezer says it works. The Chum say no. Yitnena lo ani hanim sarishon. Ultimately, again, Rabbi Eliezer says it works, and therefore Levi will acquire the peah. Chum say you don't have a right to do this, but rather you have to go ahead and give it to the first ani you encounter. We're supposed to have a really fascinating machlokes over here. I'm Rabbi Shulam Levi. Rabbi Shulam Levi says machlokes me asher lo ani. The machlokes of Rabbi Osei is Rashi says me'ashalani sha'asher shalikta l'tzarachani. So listen to this. Rabbi Shimon Levi says the machlokes of Osei is over here. Where remember again, Reuven is the guy who's walking into Shimon's field and collecting the peah, and he's collecting it ultimately again for Levi. The case in question over here is where Reuven is rich. Reuven is wealthy, right? And therefore, he is collecting this on behalf of the pauper. Watch this. The Rebbe Lezer suffer. So Rabbi Eliezer holds that it works. Why does he hold that it works? He says, "Migo di bay mafkir nechase v'havi ani v'chazilei hash denami chazilei." So mostly there's an interesting thing about these gifts, about like peah, leket shikha peah. So let's say, who's entitled to them? The poor. Technically speaking, any person could render themselves halachically poor. How do you render yourself halachically poor? You make all of your property hefker. Now be careful, because obviously if you make all of your property hefker, that means anyone who hears this can seize your property. But Lamaise says like this. Reuven, who's right now wealthy, goes into Shimon's field to collect the peah. He's picking up the peah, ultimately, again, for Levi. So Beleza says it works. Why? Because technically speaking, if Reuven wanted to, he can make all of his property hefker. When he makes all of his property hefker, he becomes an ani. When he becomes an ani, he is entitled to collect peah. And now what do we say? Since, technically speaking, he's entitled to collect peah for himself, therefore what? he has the ability to collect payah for others as well. Migo de zachia nafshe zachina lechavrei. Since he could acquire it for himself, he could acquire it for his friend as well. Incredible. Rabbanon, so the Rabbanon say, chad migo arminon, tre migo lo arminon. So he'll say, this is interesting. The Rabbanon will say, one second, you could say one migo, you can't say two migos. And I will say, why? Because this case requires two migos. Migo number one is that technically, right? Reuven could technically go ahead and make himself an ani. How? By making all of his property hefker. Migo number two is therefore, once he could acquire it for himself, he could also acquire it for his friend. The Rabbanon say, that's too much. One migo, you could say, two migos, you can't say. And then Rabbanon say, that's armach locus. Aval, me ani la ani, divri hakol zachabo, to migo de zachi lenafshe, zachi nam lechavre. Rabbanon say, in a case where Reuven is poor, and Reuven goes into Shimon's field, and Reuven acquires the payah on behalf of Levi, everyone agrees that that absolutely does work. Why? Because since Reuven is poor and has the ability to acquire for himself, he certainly has the ability to acquire on behalf of someone else as well. So both sides are very interesting. So let's kind of bring this together. Very interesting framing of the machlokis over here. Reuven walks into Shimon's field and acquires some of Shimon's payah on behalf of Levi. So does it work? So Rabbi Elazar says, yes. Chachamim say, no. What's the case? What's the machlokis case? The machlokis case is when Reuven is wealthy. So Rabbi Elazar says, since Reuven could technically speaking make all of his property hefker, become an ani, and then entitled to all of the property. So therefore, again, he could acquire all the property, and then afterwards, again, he has the ability then to convey it to another ani. Right? Chachamim say we don't say two migos. But in a case where Reuven is poor, and therefore Reuven himself is entitled to the payah, everyone agrees that since he acquires it on his own behalf, he can acquire it on someone else's behalf as well. We'll say, Shkoyach. Shkoyach. All right, everyone, remember, great day and a good Shabbos, everyone. Good Shabbos, good Shabbos.